Hey everybody, it's the Loop Mechanics Podcast. Your hosts Bealus and Scormus are here to ramble on for a while about video and tabletop games, or whatever nonsense comes into their twisted little minds. Then, if you are very lucky, they will crawl off back under the rocks from whence they came, only to return again, like clockwork, next week. Seriously, these idiots are more unavoidable than death or taxes, and much less pleasant to endure. Anyway, enjoy the show, if you can.
Hey there, everybody. I'm Scorbus.
And I'm Bealus.
So, anything interesting going on with you this week?
Not really. It is what it is. Just living my life.
Working our way through the winter, which... Yeah, I know other places have it worse weather-wise, but we're the Pacific Northwest. We're not used to this cold.
It's not even that cold, really.
No, but there's more coming, apparently, and more snow coming, supposedly. And yeah, it's funny. People joke, oh, you know, Portland shuts down for like 2 inches of snow. Yeah, and the places that are making those jokes, their topography is basically flat for the most part. Or small hills. Portland, Seattle. Basically, most of the West Coast is, even in our urban areas, mountainous. Hills, valleys, just. Sure, if you go out to Eastern Oregon, yeah, in Eastern Washington, there's some flat areas. That's all a whole bunch of high desert, and there's barely anybody out there. We're talking Portland, where people were making fun of. And yeah, no, when we talk about 2 inches of snow shutting down the place or some ice, it's because there's car crashes everywhere, not because we can't drive in the snow. I drive 50 miles each way to and from work in my little Chevy Spark, because I'm careful, and I would drive with snow tires, but I'm also driving on the flattest possible route I can go, and even then there's some pretty big hills to go over, and I'm just careful. And if you're careful, you're mostly fine, unless you live on one of the many hills around here, in which case, yeah, gravity is a bitch. It's just the way it is. So, yeah, but that was the main thing I wanted to talk about, just to start things off. You've heard of the Steam Deck, right?
All right.
That's Valve's handheld answer to the Nintendo Switch. And it runs on Linux. And more importantly, you're supposed to be able to play your entire Steam library on this handheld device.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, that's their goal. And it's supposed to come out, like, not that long from now. I think we're talking, like, March or something. Well, the first thing is they're trying to make sure that they have 100% compatibility with Linux. With every game on Steam, which is a tall flipping order, because a lot of their major titles have no compatibility. They will not play at this time. Now, they have the Proton layer, which they're using. It's a offshoot of Wine, which allows for Windows emulation. So it tricks Windows-based games into being playable over Linux. Fine. Well, Proton apparently is very good at that, and they're working hard on bringing these games into Proton compatibility. A lot of people are working very hard to make sure that happens. Great. I don't think we're going to see it before the Steam Deck comes out, but that's their goal. And I was watching some videos. Linus Tech Tips did one about whether Linux is ready to be a daily driver for gaming rigs. And no, it isn't. I could have told them that. I mean, it's been a while, but I used to have, oh God, this was, count on my fingers and toes, I want to say like 17 years ago, I had Linux on my home computer, and I specifically bought games like, which one was it? Unreal Tournament 2004, and slapped that on there because it had native compatibility with Linux, and it worked, and it was fun. I played America's Army because it was compatible with Linux, and it was fun, and there were several games that was good for that. Was it easy? No. Could it be done? Yes. And once you had it set up, it worked. Until it didn't. But that was great. But it was nowhere, it wasn't even close to what we have now, right? But one thing we do have, which is great for Linux gaming, is retro gaming. And what I mean by that is, I've talked about in the past RetroPie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is primarily meant for playing on Raspberry Pi mini computers.
Right.
Well, there is a RetroPie x86 offshoot, which is meant for playing on PCs via Linux. They don't necessarily have a direct Windows correlation. You can use emulation station and jury rig it up and make it work, but RetroPie x86 does it better. And every time, I don't currently have a computer set up playing Linux, but when I did in the past, it kicked ass. When I was live streaming retro gaming, this is a couple years ago, I specifically had a laptop set up for that, where I was able to run OBS via Linux and run RetroPie x86, same machine, and it worked virtually flawlessly. RetroArch does such a bang-up job over Linux. It was amazing. That's one thing that shocked me. I had an easier time streaming retro games when on my Linux machine than I ever did on my Windows PC. And it was a more powerful PC by far, the Windows rig. Why? Hell if I fucking know, but it worked. And it was great. So when people go, Linux just isn't ready for gaming. No. Linux isn't ready for Windows-based modern gaming, to be sure. But if you like retro gaming, especially if you want to live stream retro gaming, yeah. If an idiot like me can set that up and make it work, pretty sure anybody can. Anyway, so that's all I had. Would you like to continue?
Sure.
Cool.
Yet another topic about video games. How original.
So, Bielus.
Yes.
Well, we know that the last few weeks, because of the holidays and whatnot, have been quiet, news-wise. We're recording this, a week ago or more. And so we had to just kind of come up with an idea for us to discuss this week. And so this segment and the next segment are discussing our most anticipated games of 2022. And because, you know, that's always a good start of the year sort of discussion. Well, let's start with video games. What is your most anticipated video game of the year?
Most anticipated would have to be Starfield, but is it actually going to come out in 2022? I kind of doubt it. Actually, I'm probably about 85% sure it's not going to come out in 2022.
Considering everything, you're probably right. But currently,
that being said, it looks like, you know, hey, I'm a huge fan of Skyrim. Mm-hmm. And if this is even, you know, slightly similar, you know, in quality and playability, then I'm going to have a great time with it.
Yeah.
Skyrim's what, 10 years old? And I still play the hell out of it?
Let's see. I've only bought it twice. Once on Steam, but of course that came with two different versions of it, the original and then the upgraded version.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it for the Switch as well, because, you know,
that's what
it was
do.
On sale. And you know, as you do, you just, hell, those, you know, they have those smart refrigerators. Skyrim for smart refrigerators is going to be coming. It's a question of when. But, no, I mean, there's so many different games coming out in 2022, and, you know, I mostly play on the Switch, right?
Right.
But I had gotten us the Polygon's 50 Most Anticipated Games of 2022 list, just for, mm-hmm. you know, an idea on big ones to go over, you know, because we can't possibly know them all.
Right.
We're just, you know, stupid podcasters and bloggers. And I went through this list. And yeah, there's some interesting stuff here. But I have to agree with you that while there's interesting stuff coming, and some that I was like, ooh, I would absolutely like to have that. I'm looking at you, Gran Turismo 7. The one an only game that came to mind before I even saw this list was Starfield. And I'm going to be, you know, try to be positive about it because, you know, it could come. Most likely it won't. We are talking Bethesda. They have a bit of a history. But just being able to play a game that is like Skyrim, but in space. That takes that whole step out into the world, and you can follow the quest line if you want. You can go make up your own quests. You can go talk to NPCs and do side quests to your heart's content. Or just run off into the woods and beat stuff up. Whatever you want to do. You can do that, but you can do it in space with really good graphics. Which my gaming laptop, which is, by the time this comes out, going to be 3.5 years old, probably won't be able to handle. So that's a bummer. Which is why I absolutely would have picked Starfield off of this list. Not just because I am interested in it, by far, more than any of the other games. But if my PC can't handle the specs for Starfield when they're finally announced, Starfield's the type of game where I would go, huh, I'm going to have to go buy a Xbox Series X so I can play this. It's not coming out for the Switch, and I want to play it. And I don't want to have to play it on ultra-low settings just to make it chug out 30 frames per second. Because I'm kind of assuming its requirements will be high.
Beefy? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, by the time it comes out, I may have actually been able to save up the money and build a new PC, which is my goal. I do want to build a new PC this year. Not a laptop. I actually want to build a real PC. But the parts for that have to come down in price.
Yeah. You don't want to spend $1,500 on a marginal graphics card.
Right. If I can spend $500-ish on an Xbox, that's a little bit better than a couple grand, at least, on a PC. Which the PC may end up being, in the end, a better investment. For the long term, it may last me many years, but then an Xbox should too. So, yeah, kind of a hard decision there. Also, I know it will come out for the Xbox. Will the PC come out at the same time? It should. But we know it will be out for the Xbox. So, that would seem to be the surefire move. Would it not? Because I could set aside $1,000 pretty quickly. I'm not going to be able to set aside a few thousand for a computer. It's actually going to be end up cheaper to get a pre-made, at this point, computer as opposed to building it yourself.
Right.
And, I mean, maybe by the end of the year, maybe things will be different. Or maybe they won't. You know? It's a little weird. And Xbox availability has been better of late. Not so much having to go through scalpers to get them. So, yeah. Then again, if I get an Xbox Series X, I'll probably have to invest in a new TV. So there's another $400 or $500 at least. So, still less than a new computer, but yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see about that. But yeah, no, absolutely, I agree. Starfield, by far, absolutely the most anticipated.
If I had to pick a second one, probably Elden Ring.
Ooh.
But I'm just not sold on it yet. You know, it's an open world Dark Souls kind of game.
Yeah.
You know, where it's very challenging but rewarding. And I've watched videos on it. And I mean, it looks pretty and everything. It looks like it could be fun. But then again, I don't know. It just doesn't scream, you know, that I have to own it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's, if it's not that, then Metal Gear, or it's Metal Slug Tactics, I think it was called. It's a Switch game.
Yeah.
Based off Metal Gear, or Metal Slug World.
Yeah,
Metal Slug Tactics. I used to be a huge fan of the Metal Slug games. I was actually really good at them. I could play those things for hours.
I like Metal Slug, but yeah, it's, I've kind of gotten away from doing platformers. It's a shooter platformer kind of thing. So I guess run and gun, as they call it. It's, that's cool, but I don't know. I'm not sure it's worth paying new game prices for at this point.
Well, I never said I'd pay new game prices for it.
Now, there's a bunch of things on it. I did mention before Gran Turismo 7. I've been a fan of the Gran Turismo series since the original PlayStation. And that's great. Problem, I don't have a PlayStation 4 or 5. So, yeah, might be a bit of an issue there. Because it's only coming out for PlayStation. And from what I understand it, PlayStation 5. Unless availability on PlayStation 5s opens up over the next year before Gran Turismo 7 comes out, assuming it comes out this year, unless that opens up, there's no fucking way I'm paying those scalper prices to get a PlayStation 5.
Oh, fuck scalpers.
You can't buy them right now unless you go through a scalper. Or you just happen to be faster than a bot to buy one. They are ridiculously hard to get. And I've seen people who have managed to actually get one at, say, online at walmart.com. And when the box arrives, it's empty because somebody cut it open and took it right out of the box, but continue to send it to you. Whether it was somebody at Walmart who took it or somebody at the postal service who took it, doesn't really matter. I've had things disappear in the mail as well. Little media computer I bought last year from Amazon had to be replaced because it made it to Portland, being shipped from wherever it was coming from, and then just disappeared. So, yeah, not really wanting to take that chance. I think that if I'm going to buy a high-end, brand-new console, I'm doing it in person, so it doesn't, like, disappear in the mail or shipping, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have them open it up for me on site to make sure it's there, that it's not a box of rocks, because other people have seen that happen. There was one thing in here that I found. I mean, there's actually a lot of things I find interesting. I mean, hell, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. It's not my sort of game, but it looks fun. But Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, a spinoff of the Borderlands games.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming out this March. And it's kind of an RPG, but also open world, shoot and loot sort of action with a good sense of humor. It's got a bunch of comedians doing the voice casting. That's a nifty idea. I'm on board with that, but I've never played any of the Borderlands games. So maybe I should try one or two of those first, I guess, before committing to this.
Probably.
Also, it does not come out for Switch, which is annoying, but maybe eventually, you know?
You can always hope.
Yeah. And, finally, I saw this Triangle Strategy is also coming out in March. It's a kind of a turn-based RPG tactics game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like JRPGs. So, yeah, that is probably the most likely thing I will pick up off the list.
All right.
But to be honest, until I saw this list, I didn't even know it was here. So I can't really argue, oh, it's most anticipated, because I didn't know it was a thing until today. But hey, looks cool, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else you'd like to talk about game-wise?
I mean,
off this list or other video games.
I like Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two different Final Fantasy games. There's Stranger in Paradise, I think it's called, and then there's Ever Crisis. I'm not that huge of a Final Fantasy VII player that I have to have it, but it looks interesting.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, there's Choo Choo Charles looks interesting, but it's probably something I would never buy. It's a survival horror train game, and you're fighting the train by upgrading your train.
I'm sorry, come again?
Yeah,
you're fighting a train with a train.
Yeah. You complete missions for the local townsfolk. You loot scraps to upgrade your train's armor, mobility, and damage, and ultimately take down Charles. Except, you put two trains on a track, it's not much of a fight. They just plow into each other and they both fall down.
And you said it's survival horror?
That's what they say.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just looking at it and it's like, wow, that's a real niche kind of game.
Yes. At least it sounds unique, different. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. Just, whew, weird. Okay. Oh, I guess Dune Spice Wars. I have to mention that, I guess. Because, you know, I'm not a real-time strategy game guy, but I do like 4X games. So, then again, it has the stench of Funcom on it, and I'm not really a huge fan of Funcom at the moment. So, yeah.
Well, and speaking of a game having a stench on it, there's Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, no.
What?
No, I think my mind blocked out. Yeah, no, I see it in the list. Yeah, I just kind of skipped over it because, anything J.K. Rowling just, yeah.
Well, I feel sorry for the setting, the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Harry Potter fandom used to be this massive. I mean, it would be everywhere. You couldn't, you know, walk two steps without bumping into something Harry Potter.
Yep.
And ever since, you know, she became that transphobe, well, maybe not became, but revealed that she was transphobe, and all the crap she's been involved with, she's lost a lot of fans, and this game is probably going to get flushed right down the toilet because of it.
Yeah. As they note in the Polygon article about it, that many fans who once logged or longed to play a game like this one are no longer looking forward to it, though, as a franchise creator, Rowling has become a prominent figure in the growing movement to roll back transgender rights, as she's lost many fans and potential Hogwarts Legacy players as a result of her bigoted views.
Oh,
that's pretty succinct.
I stopped playing the, I think it's Niantic, did the Harry Potter Wizarding World or whatever it was.
Yeah, their mobile game.
I stopped that when this thing started.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, like, ugh. And so, I mean, there's no way I'm playing this game because she's involved in it. Period.
Yeah. And honestly, that's fair. I mean, I get it. People have a right to their beliefs. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
But also fans have a right to theirs. And if they don't wish to support her, they don't have to.
Nope.
They can take their money elsewhere. So, my wife and I, actually, we had basically stopped playing that mobile game by then.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't have the time to go running around every weekend to go do raids and whatnot. Same reason we left Pokemon Go. But if we had been playing it when she opened her full mouth and said stupid things and then doubled down on it and has continued to do so for months, then, yeah, we would have certainly walked away then. And, when I see anything Harry Potter now, official Harry Potter stuff,
mm-hmm.
I just, yeah. I have nothing to do with it.
Nope.
She will never get... Because anything that you spend money on, Harry Potter-wise, she's getting a cut.
Oh, yeah.
So, no thank you. My money will not be... Just like I won't buy Chick-fil-A, I'm not buying or supporting anything Wizarding World.
Nope.
So, yeah. That might be my least anticipated game. Video game of 2022, in fact.
I wasn't saying it was one I was, you know, anticipating. It's one that I saw on the list, and I'm thinking, well, that sucks for that game developing company.
Oh, sure. But, you know, at this point, there's so much money sunk into it, they kind of have to put it out, don't they?
Yeah.
Because if they don't, then they're cowards, and they're hiding, and they're a big loss of money for Warner Brothers, so it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. The developers are not at fault for what the series creator says or does.
Nope.
So.
But they're going to get burned just as bad.
Yeah. Then they say, well, if that's the case, then why don't you just play it? Why don't you just buy it? Well, because that money goes to her. So, no, thank you. I mean, at least a portion of it does. So, no.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew, if they said, yeah, none of this money will go to her at all. She is out of the loop on this. She gets no royalties, nothing. Then sure, maybe. That's not the case. Well,
and the problem is, though, she would still make money off of it because it's promoting the world that she created. And so it would draw people who don't know about her or don't care about her to the book series and the movies. And so in turn, she's still seeing something down the line.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah basically, yeah. There's really no coming back from that.
Nope. Fuck her.
Yeah.
She a skanky bitch.
Roll the dice to see if I'm drunk.
Okay, so, Bielis, let's get on to our most anticipated tabletop role-playing games of 2022.
Okay.
Now, the list, I there's a lot of games allegedly coming in 2022. It's been kind of up in the air whether a lot of the especially Kickstarter-based games will actually make it out in 2022. I saw ones that were supposed to come out in 2019 that didn't come out until 2021. So, yeah, it's a crapshoot with the current tabletop role-playing scene, especially for smaller titles. But I did find over at nworld.org, the home of the Ennies, they did their annual most anticipated RPG of 2022 list. A bunch of fans in the forums nominated a couple games, up to two games each. And so they have a running list that people are now going to be voting on to determine what games win that prize. Well, it's not a prize, but you know what? That distinction of most anticipated RPG. And there's a lot. It doesn't include all of the games that I would have thought of, because I've got a bunch of games coming on Kickstarter alone that are supposed to be out this year. But, you know, they can't have every game on here.
They got quite a few games on here, though.
This is a good starting point, let's say. And there's several that definitely caught my eye. Because, oh yes, they're definitely most, you know, anticipated by me because, well, I already backed them on Kickstarter. I can't wait for them to come. And I actually would like to start off with two that are related. They're from totally different developers, but they both are Fruit of the Mirkborg tree, let's say. The one they have on their list is Cyborg, which is uses the same system as Mirkborg, but is a cyberpunk game. Cyberpunk apocalyptic role-playing. It looks dark and tasty fun. That's put out by that's coming out from the same development house that put out Merc Borg. So that's cool. Now, from a third-party developer, we have Vast Grim coming, which is just open sci-fi apocalyptic horror. The universe is dying, and you're trying to make your way in it, traveling through space. So, yeah, they've got similar ideas, but not, and they're both supposed to be coming this year. Did you have a game that struck you as interesting?
Well, there's a lot of interesting games here, but the only one I could even see myself possibly buying is Tales of Zadia.
Oh.
And that's based off of the Dragon Prince anime, which, if you haven't seen it, is definitely worth checking out.
I have not.
I think the only thing about it that kind of throws me off is how all the elves share a same accent thereabouts, except for the main character, well, one of the main characters who comes from that group. She's got a distinctly Scottish accent that just doesn't fit with the rest of them. But you just roll with it and enjoy the show.
That's interesting.
Other than that, it's a fun world. I like the magic, and it's worth checking out.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't actually heard of that. I mean, I've seen people mention Tales of Zadia, but I didn't know anything about it. Didn't really look it up.
When we were talking about when they were doing the award shows for tabletop games, that one was mentioned a few times.
Huh. Yeah, okay. And there's a bunch of other games on here, besides like Cyborg, that I've backed, mostly on Kickstarter. Like Mothership First Edition, which brought in over $1 million on Kickstarter. And where's that other one? Did they not put it in here? Interesting. Well, they have Urban Shadows Second Edition, which, yes, I backed as well. It was actually supposed to be out in December of 2021, but, you know, everything gaming-wise is delayed right now. Just the way things are. Oh, that's amazing. It didn't make it onto the list. That's actually kind of shocking, because I saw somebody nominate it, which would be my almost most anticipated. It was my most anticipated game, but didn't quite make it there because something else is coming. But for my second place, if I had a second place, it would be Ironsworn Starforged. Ironsworn is a fantasy tabletop role-playing game designed for solo play, but it can be played with a group, either GM-less, where basically you use the Oracle tables to take the role of a game master, and you just have a bunch of players, or you can do guided play, which is the more classic game master and a bunch of players. It can be played all those different ways. And it's a very grim, Viking-like type of fantasy game. And it's really a lot of fun. Well, its developer has Starforged coming, which is effectively takes what that he put out with Ironsworn, and it's a expansion, Delve, which added in dungeon crawl mechanics to the game. It's a whole book just for doing dungeon crawls and that sort of gaming. Takes all that, makes the system better, and puts it in space. So, like, you've got your Skyrim, and then a decade later, they're coming out with, allegedly, Starfield this year, which is effectively Skyrim in space, but better. Starforged is Ironsworn, but better and in space. So that's a game I really, really want. And it will be coming, supposedly, in the first half of 2022. I will believe it when I have it in my hot little hands. But supposedly it's coming. It's a Kickstarter project. These things get delayed. But the one I really, really, I can't believe that Starforged isn't on this list. It makes no sense. But the one that I really, really want is Blade Runner.
Hey.
You know, Blade Runner.
Oh, I'm a fan of the original movie. I just don't see that as being a really, you know, fun tabletop game.
Well, I look at it from a couple different things. First of all, I'm a huge fan of Free League, the publisher for Blade Runner. They make fantastic games. They basically have hit it out of the park on basically everything they've put out the last few years. They're just knocking it out of the park. And everything from being the major distributor for Merc Borg to Vason, Mutant Year Zero, just game after game after game they've been putting out and just knocking out of the park, doing a great job with them. Well, they're doing Blade Runner. And I don't know for sure, but I believe it will be using the Year Zero engine. I could be wrong on that. I don't have details in front of me. But if it is, that is a solid, proven system that just works. And you know, I got a veritable fuck ton of cyberpunk style games.
Right.
But Blade Runner is like one of the quintessential pieces of cyberpunk media. And having it's almost like, oh, I really want survival horror in space. Oh, yeah, there's Mothership available. Go buy Alien. You know it will be good. You know it details the world. It is an excellent game. Go buy it. Oh, you know, I really want to play something like Blade Runner, but I don't have that option. So what do I play? Well, then I got a bunch of cyberpunk games that I could suggest to you. Everything from Cyberpunk 2020, Cyberpunk Red, The Sprawl. I don't think I'd go with some. They're a little weird, but no, I got a bunch of different cyberpunk games. I can't think of them all offhand. Shadowrun obviously isn't going to work. But now, screw it. Buy Blade Runner. It's right there. So maybe, I could be wrong, maybe it will absolutely stink. Maybe. Not likely, but possibly. Can't rule it out, because I don't have the game. But at the same time, like I said, Free League has done nothing but put out quality product year after year after year, whether it's something they're distributing or something they're directly publishing. It's like everything they touch turns to gold. They are just rock stars, to be honest, in this regard. So I have high confidence that Blade Runner's gonna be not just good, but great. Even if it isn't, well, oh no, I'm a huge Blade Runner fan and I have another piece of Blade Runner media. What will I ever do? Pretty sure I can make use of it somehow. You know, one way or another.
I would hope so.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, just looking at this list, so many good games coming out this year. Allegedly.
Well, my biggest issue with it is a lot of the games they're listing are just, it's like Hunter the Reckoning 5e.
Yeah.
A fifth edition, oh man, it's a fifth edition White Wolf book.
Yeah.
But then again, they also have Werewolf the Apocalypse 5e and Vampire the Masquerade 5e.
Are you thinking that they're compatible with D&D 5e?
Probably not.
No, they're not. That's what I'm saying.
It's the fifth edition. I know, but it's just another edition.
Well, there's... How many editions of D&D are there?
Plenty.
Eventually, they need to, you know, they got to sell more books. So, I'm just happy that they returned to the original World of Darkness games as opposed to that new World of Darkness that they tried for a while. They wiped out the original setting completely and did New World of Darkness for a while, and yeah, no thanks. So, am I going to go buy those games? No. No, I don't buy World of Darkness games, because their policies on doing live streaming of their product is
stupid.
Not acceptable. In my mind.
Archaic?
I don't want them going sometime in the future going, yeah, you don't have the ability to do that, so you're going to have to delete all these live streams or podcasts or whatever that you did of actual plays of our game. We don't give you the right to do that. Unacceptable. Not going to go for it. But, yeah, they're dark practice. Packed, because I can shove that up their ass. Oh. Dungeon Crawl Classics, Dying Earth is finally coming out. I'm a fan of Dungeon Crawl Classics. That's a good game. Do you like the anime Avatar, right? The Last Airbender or whatever?
Well, yeah, but doesn't mean I want to play in the world.
Magpie Games. They are much like Free League, knocking stuff out the park, and they're the ones developing Avatar. So they're also putting out Urban Shadows 2nd Edition, which I can confirm, good game. So it might be worth your looking into. I know, you know, maybe it's not your thing, but again, like I like Blade Runner, if you're really into Avatar, at the very least, hell of a source book, right? For just a fan to read over.
I suppose.
Now, another one that I found interesting, though, is Rivers of London. I can't really get into it deeply, but it sounds very interesting. A quick search on it. Apparently, it's based on a novel series, RPG. Yeah, they've been developing it since 2019, I guess. It's a urban fantasy fiction chronicling the world of the Folly. Game will use elements of the company's basic role-playing, which is effectively the Call of Cthulhu system, as well as original customized rules. Not surprising for basic-based games. To reflect the series' inventive take on the fantastic. from Newtonian magic to the strange powers wielded by rivers and other supernatural beings that inhabit the popular novels and comics. So, I haven't read the books, but apparently it's a kind of urban fantasy, mystery, thriller, comedy about a constable who becomes a magician's apprentice that solves crimes.
Okay.
There's also a television series coming. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, their production company, got the rights and will be producing it. So, spiffy, I guess?
Sure.
I won't say it's super anticipated because I've never really don't know much about the media or anything, but It's intriguing. So I guess I can leave it at that. How's that?
Sure.
Are we done with this shit yet?
Alrighty, so I guess that's about it for this week. Did you have anything you'd like to discuss before we leave?
Not really. I mean, I'm just keeping on, keeping on.
Okay. I mean, nothing you have an interest in, nothing you've been doing other than working?
I've been trying to write more games, you know, more potential games for the D&D group. But it's just difficult. You got to be in a right state of mind to do it, and I just haven't been able to really get that state of mind.
No, I get that. I've been focusing most of my free time, when I have it, on getting ready to play some Troika, the tabletop role-playing game of science, fantasy, whimsy. It's weirdness, kind of, what's a good way of describing it? Studio Ghibli on acid, if that
right
gives you any idea. So, yeah, it's a unique little game. And so my goal is to play some of that for the, solo actual play podcast, Ronin Role Playing, which you'll, if I pull this off, you'll hear this in a few months. But I've got a few more games I'm wanting to get through in July, February, March. I'm hoping to have most of the shows for this year for Ronin Roleplaying done before it gets hot again in like late June, early July. Because it's kind of hard to sit in my office, even at night, and record when it's still 90-something degrees at night. That kind of sucks.
Oh, I'm sure that it does.
I'd rather go melt in my recliner in the living room in front of a fan. With the air conditioner going. Kind of hard to record with an air conditioner going, you know?
Yes, so. Yes it is.
Anyway, so that's all I've got going. I guess till next time, when we probably, hopefully, will have more interesting topics to discuss. I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending?
Well, look at that. You made it through an entire episode. Good for you. Now, here's your prize. Ads. Please drop by whatever service you heard this abomination of a podcast on, and give the show a great review. You can also come by our website squirmy.com, check out our blogs, podcasts, and other content, and leave some comments. Finally, join our Discord server. You can listen to us record Loop Mechanics live and chat with other fans. You'll find the link on the website. Until next time, I'm the digital voiceover guy telling you to kindly fuck off.